Welcome back, RM Fantasy SX Nation. I am Chase.
I'm Christian.
We are the RM Fantasy S experts here for round 10 of Monster Energy Supercross Daytona. My favorite round of the year.
A lot of people's favorites. Interesting track.
Yes. Now, before we dive right into our race recap, because we got a lot to talk about from last week.
Yeah.
But first, as always, we give away killer prizes during the fantasy season. Weekly prizes, 100. Mm-hmm. We also give away awesome grand prizes. But for those of you that subscribe to the channel and watch each week, you know that we also give away some cool prizes just on the show.
Just to the S experts out there. Our guy Ted at Fox sent over these sweet Fox camping mugs. So we're going to pick two winners, give two of those away, but we'll tell you how to be eligible to win later.
So stick around for the end of the show. We'll talk about that. And I'm excited to say that Weston Pike is calling in later on in the show. And there is no better man to ask about the Barsha Tomac incident than
He's got his method for settling conflict. We'll talk to him about it.
But before we get there, let's dive right into it. This is our race recap. All right, Christian. Atlanta has come and gone. And to me, I think this was one of the best races, the most exciting and most controversial of the year.
I mean, it gave us plenty to talk about.
All right, so we'll get there real quick. First up, let's talk about results. So Ken Roczen takes back the red plate. He's now tied with Tomac in points. Justin Barsha, hard charge up to second. Cooper Webb, impressive ride by this man, third place.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Tomac, fourth. Martin!
Fifth place. Who saw that coming? Not a lot of people.
35 people saw it coming. And then Justin Brayton in the wild card.
That's right.
But let's talk about this weekend, because there's a lot of controversy over it, but let's just get the elephant out of the way. The Tomac, Barsha, and Baggett incident. Give me your take real quick on the Tomac, Barsha thing. Is Barsha justified being that upset?
I think Barsha's going to be upset no matter what happens anyways, but I think Tomac is losing his mind almost. I mean, you go wipe out Baggett. It's got to mess you up mentally. Then you're battling with Barsha.
The Tomac Barsha was before.
Well, yeah, he's creating a lot of enemies just out of nowhere.
I think Tomac was just trying to race forward. And the thing with Baggett, I don't think Tomac meant to do that. He even said that. But the whole Barsha thing, well, Bam Bam's got it just.
Baggett felt like he did. I mean, my gosh, he's pushing him. I already even went to the truck to apologize to Baggett, and Baggett was gone.
Yeah, that did happen.
So Baggett's not happy.
As far as Barsha goes, Bam Bam, come on, dude. The most aggressive, dirty rider that most people can think of, other than Vince Freeze,
goes out
and gets nudged by Tomac and throws a fit. I don't know. What do you guys think, the fans?
I love it.
Was Barsha justified? I love the drama, but as far as Bam Bam being that upset about Tomac's past,
I love him being
upset. I've watched it several times. No. All right, moving on. Next up, what do you got from the race?
We got to talk about, you know, Martin getting up there. I mean, he ran in second place till what, like lap 19, dude?
No, last second, last corner of lap 19.
Yeah,
no,
he was killing it.
He was. It was good. Your boy. Webb charging up front. I don't think many people expected him to do that well.
No, he looked like he was in pain at the end of the race, too.
But yeah, so it was pretty crazy, but
Justin Brayton taking the wild card 12th. I didn't expect that. No. It was low picked.
And what I am glad to see, though, is even though Tomac finished fourth, this wasn't the typical Tomac blow-up where he goes down early and then just kind of cruises in 10th.
Yeah.
He's still pushed up to fourth place, so it's good to see.
He did. So did Barsha pass a lot of people, too.
That's true.
And you got to talk about Anderson. What is going on?
I don't know. Stalling the bike, doing all sorts of things, taking out Wilson. Wilson was probably so mad at him.
Dude, it was a wild
night.
Just
kept getting in the way.
It's keeping fantasy tough. Goes into our points.
Yeah, like you were saying, Barsha charged the pack. Look at the lap chart. It's pretty impressive.
I mean, he started 11th.
Yeah.
And just kept moving up.
He just got to get a start. Like, the guy is not doing himself any favors off the start. He's like Tomac right now. It's like, if Barsha starts up front, he can win again.
He's got to start third or better to have a chance to win, I feel like.
But you look at Anderson's lap chart, he's just all over the place making mistakes.
Tomac's is crazy, too.
Just steady going up.
I mean, Baggett sliding all the way to 22nd after that. But on the plus side, our boy Seven Deuce Deuce climbed up, taking 17, did a good job.
Nice work. Now, as far as results go, what do we got here?
You and I, user picks were down.
I got 20 points. You got what, 10?
Ours included, yeah. I only got 10. I mean, I had Baggett in there. He started like third or fourth. Hill barely missed it, but, that's fantasy. So no perfect scores. Average points was 31. Only 1% had Barsha picked in second.
Wow.
So, and 99% of players had Roczen in their top five, which they should, but only 24 had him in first.
But here's my favorite. 0.07% have Martin Davalos in the top five.
It was so small.
I would like to hear what they were
thinking. Why were you picking him? I have no idea, but somebody did it.
A lot of people had Justin Hill in their top five, about 35%.
Yeah. Look at Justin Brayton in the wild card, though. More people picked AP, Reed, Davalos, Freezy, Bowers, and Dean Wilson than Justin Brayton.
Wow.
So you did that. It was good.
All right.
And, yeah, There we go. There's our points for Atlanta.
Well, there you have it. So now let's get right into it. We got a lot to talk about coming into Daytona, especially with Tomac and Roxon being tied in points. So here it is, Track Trends.
So we're heading into Daytona, the track Ricky Carmichael designs.
Yes.
We looked at the track design for this year. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he said he wanted to slow the track down, but it looks super high speed.
That's what I heard, and that's what I thought. So it's going to be an interesting track, no doubt. But
one thing that really stood out to me is you have a real long whoop section, then a wall, then another whoop section, mm-hmm. and those whoops get nasty. But it's a 360-degree start straight.
Did you see that? I don't think we've ever seen that.
Full circle.
Like that short of...
Here's what I think could be good about that, is that that's going to allow riders to separate themselves a little bit on the start. So riders aren't going to just funnel down and get bunched up. So I think it's going to benefit guys like Tomac or Barcia because it just gives them a little bit more time to spread out and go. Yeah. However, if I have Tomac, I'm freaking out right now because Baggett and Barcia are going to have a lot more time to see him and find him off the start.
And it's going to make qualifying and you're finishing the heat more important because you don't want to be on the outside on that start.
No.
I don't think that would end up well.
Last year, Tomac had won Daytona for the third time. The year before that was actually Brayton for his first ever 450 win.
Yeah.
And your top five was Tomac, Webb, Muscan, Baggett, and then Joey Savacci took the wild card that week.
Yeah, I missed that guy.
But, so kind of interesting with the track. Kind of see how it races. Hopefully it's good racing. Daytona's always fun regardless of the track. It's just a cool atmosphere. But let's get right into it because top contenders, who do you pick now?
We need to talk about it.
All right, well, here it is, our top contenders. All right, so with our top contenders, kind of interesting. We only have four guys on the table right now. We have Roxon, Tomac, Webb, Barcia. But these are the four guys who have just proven to be the most steady top five guys every week. That fifth place spot, that's kind of, who do you think?
Well, there's always someone in there mixing it up, but they're not consistently doing it.
But the big question mark that I have, and I'm sure everyone out there watching is, who would you pick right now between Roxon and Tomac? Right now, the majority of people have Tomac, and he's won Daytona three times. But Roxon has the better average start.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has hole-shotted a ton of races.
Last week included.
Yeah, and he's led 123 laps.
He's leading all the laps.
Tomac only has 64 laps led. So do you take Roxon, who's got this momentum, he's led the most laps, he's got a better average start, just behind Tomac with Tomac about the average finish? Or do you take Tomac, who's won three times and this track? He's won four races, but he's won Daytona three times.
Yeah, exactly. So my thing is, Tomac, the way he wins races and he's won the most, everyone just starts leaning towards him like he's the favored guy. But I'm like, they got to be tied in points for some reason. So we looked up the stats, and like you were saying, Roxon's been up front way more than Tomac.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to fight through the pack very much because he starts up in front all the time, where Tomac has to make up 10 spots, it seems like, every week. So we'll see if Roxon slips, has a bad start. The whole season could come down to that, how hard he pushes up through the pack.
Right. But I mean, people are still going with Tomac, I think, just because he's won Daytona three times. But statistically, Roxon's a way better odds to win this race just because of how he's been performing.
The championship.
Yeah. Now, when we get to Cooper Webb, impressive ride last week. 24 points back. He's not out of this, but he is banking on Tomac and Roxon to have some mistakes come their way. But if you look at it, though, his average finish and start isn't the greatest. He's about 6.2, 6.3 on both. So it's good, but not as good as last year.
I mean, he just can't stay healthy, it seems like.
The question is, though, we haven't seen that Webb of last year yet, I don't think, where he just has that speed where he's going to catch and pass Tomac or Roxon.
Yeah.
So I think for Webb to win right now, especially a little bit banged up still, he's got to get a whole shot or finish or be ahead of these two guys to start the race.
Tomac caught up to him there towards the end
of
the
race. Give it one more lap, Tomac probably passes.
Yeah.
What about Barcia Law here?
Barcia Law, I'm saying enact it right now. I'm all aboard on this man. I mean, he's already got more points this season than he got all of last season.
Yeah.
He got on the podium in Atlanta after being in the top five for the last three rounds. Climbed nine positions to get to second last week, but he hasn't led any laps or started in first since A1. So
he hasn't had a good start since St. Louis, the second round, it seemed like.
He's got to get a start.
Yeah.
And his average East Coast finish, though, 3.3. Overall average finish of 2020. So
it's just his starts. If Barcia got a top five start, he could win a race.
I mean, he's starting around 10th like Tomac, and that's not going to do it these days.
But
I'm just saying, no, you don't want to get near that man.
But do you put Barcia ahead of Coop this weekend?
I do, yeah.
And does Barcia try to take out Tomac, given the chance?
I don't want him to take him out. I just want to see him get next to each other and see what happens.
All right, well,
because you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, well, what do you guys think? Is Barcia going to be on the hunt for a red number three plate, or, I don't know, it's all going to boil down to the start?
Well, Tomac told him he has a lot to lose.
That is
we'll
very
see
true.
What it is.
Well, there you go. Those are the top contenders, but now let's get right into it, because we talked about it. That fifth place is tough now, because we don't really have an established, dominant fifth-place guy. So let's get into it. This is our weekly spoilers.
So spoilers this week, riders less likely to crack the top five. You got them ranked out by your favorites. Jason Anderson, Justin Hill, Blake Baggett, and Malcolm Stewart. Jason Anderson's looking more like a wild card these days. What is going on?
I don't know, man. His starts haven't been that great. He's making lots of mistakes. He's causing all sorts of drama with him and Dean Wilson.
But his last four overall finishes, 11, 3, 10, 14.
I know. And he's finished 11th last week after starting 9th. And his average finish is almost 8. It's 7.57. His average start is almost 9. I don't know what to do with this guy. At first, he was solid top 5. And now it's like you don't know what to do with him.
No.
He's harder to pick over than Justin Hill right now.
I mean, he's the type of dude.
In fact, it's almost like I want to switch these two. I'd go Justin Hill and then Anderson.
He's just been getting into stuff he shouldn't be getting into.
All right,
we all know at any given point that dude could win a race.
Yeah, but on paper, you've got Hill stats. What he looks better than Anderson right now.
Let's talk about Hill.
I mean, Hill was up there. You got what, 6th last weekend?
Yep. I mean, they're letting him keep shadow boxing, which is a plus in my book.
It works.
Last four overall finishes 6, 6, 5, 9, 8.
Yeah.
And he's just getting solid starts all year, like we've always talked about.
His starts are better than Anderson's, and his average finish is better than Anderson's right now.
Over the last 5 rounds, he's finished on average 3.4 spots from qualifying. So,
So Hill, for me, is a better pick than Anderson right now. And then you get to Baggett, who, same thing, man. Just bad luck here and there. He had his run-in with Tomac last weekend. Yeah. So I'm sure Tomac's right in front of him next weekend.
I mean, once he gets angry, things start happening over there.
He's not going to go out of his way to knock Tomac down, but he's going to let him know I'm not stoked.
I think he's
going to
have a little bit of an extra fire under him this week. Plus, he always does good in Daytona.
I hope he does. But if you look at his stats, though, that's where it's hard, because his last four finishes are 19, 10, 22, 3.
I know.
And yes, he does have an IOU for Tomac. But his average start is about 6, and his average finish for the year is 11.
His average start per gate drop, I think, is like 4th best. But
yeah,
his finish is somewhere around 10.
Put it together, all right?
Yeah.
You got Malcolm Stewart up here, but
you're not digging Mook.
No, until he actually does. I will not put him in my top 5 until he actually gets a top 5.
I mean, his last 5 finishes, 8, 7, 7, 8, 10. All I'm going to say is he had a solid round when James was at that race. I can't remember which round it was. You know James is going to be
Florida.
At Daytona.
It was at
Tampa.
Tampa, yeah.
Yeah. So you know James is going to be there. I'm sure he's going to be wanting to do stuff for his big brother.
Okay.
So I still have hope for Malcolm, but other notables you don't want to mention. Martin Davlos.
I do want to mention Martin.
The guy took 5th last week.
And I was high on Martin earlier in the year, but the dude, like, come on, man. Look at his stats. He's gone. Before 5th place last weekend, he was 17th, 14th, 12th, 15th.
I know.
That is not enough for me. One top 5, and the stars aligned. We are talking about it. The man pulled a whole shot with everybody but Ken Roczen behind him.
But there's something to be
obviously
said about running in
shot.
Second
but
place. 19 laps, man. I mean, Marty Marr looking solid. I'm just saying he could pull another start.
Last week the starts aligned. The stars aligned. This week
the starts did align too.
That's true. But this week, unless he gets another hole shot with Tomac, Webb, Barcia, all those guys buried,
I'm saying there's chance. And then for my long, long shot, I'm going with AP. Seems like this type of track could favor him.
Martin's been doing solid. Longer shot than AP. AP's been more solid than Martin has all year.
I mean, the only thing Martin has is he's done it, where AP hasn't done it yet. So.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is the wild card watch. Clearly, Chris and I disagree on a few things, but what do you guys think?
I like the long shots, man. That's where I go. Probably why I'm doing horrible in points.
Although, I will just say real quickly, I like Anderson for this week just because that guy rides really loose on the bike.
Yeah.
And that's what Daytona is all about.
It's not like he's banged up. He's just having issues. So.
But there you have it. But now, we got to talk about it. Wild card is
10th place.
10th place. So here it is wild card watch.
Wild card this week, 10th place. You can't talk about a wild card without Vince Freese. Got to put him up there.
Got to do it.
He hasn't got it in a while. All right. We got him, Davalos, Wilson. Who do you like?
Freeze, 10th place for me is a little bit tough. His average finish for the year is 12.29. But he took 9th last week and 10th at A1, so maybe he is looking good for that.
And you just never know when he's going
to
pull
it off. We're seeing some riders that are hurt, so he could get a good... For Freeze to finish 10th, he's got to get a good start and then fade back. I don't see him starting 16th or something like that and getting up to 10th.
No. But a fun fact about him, he does have the best average start in the two East Coast rounds this year of anyone.
Really?
2.5. Better than Roczen, that 4.
Jeez. So. All right, Martin Davalos. Even 10th for, I mean, gosh, that 5th place is just such a wrench and everything, but.
Dude, your confidence in him has just gone out
the
window from the
because
beginning.
Like I said, his last 5 finishes were 5, 17, 14, 12, 15. So his standard round finish this year is 13.7 and his average start is 15.4. So I'm going to do that for Martin on wild card.
He's still alive for me even in the wild card, but I'm liking Dean Wilson actually this week. I mean, he's finished 10th twice this year. Finished within 3 spots of 10th, 8 out of the 9 rounds this year. So he's always around that range. His average overall finish is 10.29.
Yeah.
So I like Wilson. I also like Benny Bloss.
Brayton would be really good, maybe.
Yeah, we can talk about Brayton. I mean, he's won there, so it's kind of weird to consider that. But, I mean, he
just got the wild card last week in 12th place, so he finishes right around there.
Yeah, he was definitely banged up last week a little bit, too.
Yeah.
So I like Bloss. I think he's tall. It's deep sand. It's a lot of whoops. He took 13th last week, too. So.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is the wild card watch. Who do you guys have your eye on? But now, let's get him on the phone. He called in last year. This man is a brick house.
Yeah.
Mr. Weston Pike, the perfect man to ask about the Barsha Tomac incident. Let's get him on the phone. All right, so we have him on the phone between two berms with Mr. Weston Pike. What's going on, Weston?
Oh, not much. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are doing good because we got a lot to talk about from last week and going into Daytona. But first, give us an update on how you're doing, how your injury's been doing. You know, you've been doing a lot of side-by-side stuff, still riding motorcycles, but what have you been up to and how's the recovery going?
Yeah, man, I've been busy. I've actually been busier than I've probably been racing motorcycles professionally for 9-10 years. But I've been good. My recovery's kind of been at a standstill. My eye really hasn't gotten any better from, mid last year. The vision's still struggling, with the optic nerve damage. So, there's not much I could do with that besides wait and see, what comes, if it gets better, whatnot. But other than that, just a couple surgeries here and there with, tear duct surgeries, which I had another one again, and that actually worked this time, so I'm stoked on that. Well, so I'm not walking around tearing up out of my eye all the damn time. So,
it looks like you did surgery on your own eye the other day.
Yeah,
I did that too. I just hate doctors, man. I've had so many doctors lately. I get sick and tired of the shit, waiting in the room and storytelling. And I'm just like,
just get to it.
Coming out, and I'm like, I'm freaking driving to San Diego to have him do what I could do in my house. So I just ended up, cutting it out myself and tearing it out. So I'm not worried about it. But that's that, man. But other than that, I've been slammed. I just signed another 2-year deal with Fly actually to be a full-time brand ambassador for multiple companies, mainly obviously Fly is number one, the gear stuff, and then also doing, Shinko tires, Sedona tires and wheels. I have Highway 21 clothing for Harley brand, and as well as, HD Twin Hard Drive, which is a huge company that distributes parts for Harleys, Indians, et cetera, et cetera. So I've kind of got my hands full with that, as well as traveling to Supercrosses. So I've been really busy with that, and man, I have my other business that I started back in May of 19. I opened a furniture store, so
yeah, Lux Furniture, right?
Yeah, Lux. Yep, Lux Furniture, and that's been the biggest, craziest thing I've ever done, and just something different. You race motorcycles for so long, and then you get hurt, and you're like, oh, what the hell am I gonna do? And my good friend neighbor, Jody, he hit me up and was like, what are you going to do? I go, I don't know. I ain't got no plans. He goes, well, let's open a store. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say, yes or no. And it was kind of one of the things where I just kind of went in blindsided and said yes. But, it's been good. It's kept me busy. It kept my mind off you know, dread and racing and all that. But other than that, it's been a solid year.
Well, good. Didn't you get married too, and somewhere in there, yeah, and all that?
Oh yeah, let me throw that in there too. I got married in November. So we got we went to Orlando, Florida, got married out there, had a great wedding, great honeymoon in Bora Bora, and damn, can't complain, man. Life hasn't been too bad. It could always be worse.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Good for you. We hear about a lot of riders, you know, either getting hurt or retiring and getting bored, and that's why they always try and find something new, but looks like you've been staying busy.
Yep.
All right, well, Weston, yeah, so for the races last week, there's a lot of controversy right now. I'm sure you saw the video of Tomac and Barsha getting heated after the race. And I'm glad they finally showed that side of the sport.
Oh, it's been awesome.
I'm sure you and other riders have had a lot of stuff like that we haven't seen. But you're the perfect man to ask this question to, because we all know about the Pike Freeze incident.
Pike has a method of solving conflict.
So with that incident, though, give us your take on it. Is Barsha overreacting? I think he is. But if you were Barsha, do you have a right to be upset? Or what about Blake Baggett?
Dude, I don't. You know, to tell you the truth, I think that all that shit is good. That's life. That's racing. That's pure anger. That's your livelihood. That's your life. That's your career. Mm-hmm. So everybody's riding. Everybody's fast out there. Everybody's taking the next edge. Everybody's taking the next step. So I don't blame either Tomac or Barsha for taking anybody out. Yes, some of the moves are kind of bullshit. I could say you could have avoided that and not, you know, clean someone out of this or not. But at the end of the day, like, it is what it is. I mean, yeah, did they get a little bit overly emotional talking shit? Yeah, but I've done that. I flip out. I've gone crazy on people. But you're in the moment. You're heated up. You're elevated. And their little dispute, I actually just watched that today, and I was laughing. Like, I can't believe they actually showed and aired this, because the sport is getting so monotone bullshit, BS. Like, everybody's so perfect. Nobody does anything wrong. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything wrong. You can't say anything. And it's just like, where are we coming to? Like, what is this world really coming to? Are we going to next go like NASCAR, where we have this car that everybody has the exact same car and nobody can go faster than anybody else? Like, I always look at that. I'm just like, this is a man sport, you know, brutal, hard on your body. Like, don't sit here and justify it like we're all a bunch of these, and don't get angry and don't want to hit somebody and show our enthusiasm for it.
Right.
But I could go on all day about that. Yeah. It's just one of those things where I think, that's good. I would just like to see them start hitting each other and swinging at each other and just, you know, showing a little more, you know, aggression. So
yeah,
I'm with you. I love the emotion.
And it's like, if I'm in that situation, it's like, all right, well, sounds good. I love Anderson's take on it. It's like when he kicked Brayton off the track a few weeks ago, he's like, I punted Brayton off the track and he returned the favor.
It's like, I started it, he finished it.
Yeah, move on. Exactly. It's like, fine, you get pissed. It's like, if you're Baggett, you're probably thinking, hey, dude, I owe you one, but sounds good, let's go racing. Yeah. You know, but
yeah, that's how it is. It's one of those things where, like, okay, you just open that door. Like, if, like, with Barsha's cleaning out plenty of times, and guess what, I've punted him back. Same with Anderson, same with other guys, you know what I mean? But it's always funny, because when the tables turn, like, it's funny you bring up Anderson. I think 2015, Anderson cleaned me out like dirty on purpose, or just because I was in his way, probably. But it was funny, because I'm like the kind of guy that's like, hey, look at her. I have nothing to lose here. You do.
Yeah.
Like, I always raced that mentality of like, I don't care who you are, what your name is. If you're winning the championship, always remember, you have something to lose. I don't. I will hunt your ass down and I will clean you out and you'll lose that championship. So, you know, that's how I always raced, and that's how I looked at it. Like, hey, you want to play? Let's play. Like, I got nothing to lose.
It's
got to
be way more scary for Tomac to be making enemies than Barsha right now.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think Tomac's too worried about it, but, yeah, it is what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I don't think it'll get to that point where they have – I mean, yeah, I'm going to say there's probably going to be a couple more moves where they cross paths, but at the end of the day, I would hope they're all smart enough to know where their positions are at and what the decisions they got to make. But at the end of the day, that's life. Barsha's trying to win races. Tomac's trying to win races. You know, everybody in that spot's trying to win races. And when Tomac shows the speed he does, you know, it pisses everybody else off.
Yeah.
And it makes a target on his head, especially when he makes moves like that. And it's like, yo, dude, you got to think twice. Like, you're in that position where you can win the championship. Don't do stupid like, yeah, you know, avoid that extra little move. Like make peace, don't make war when you're in a spot where you need to win a Supercross championship. We all know you're fast. We all know you can win outdoors, but it's, can you put it together and win a Supercross championship?
Yeah, yeah. So, you can lose it real fast.
Well, did you know? It's just one of those things.
Did you know he went over to the Rocky Mountain rig after the race to apologize to Baggett, but he had left already?
It's a good move.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, honestly, I don't follow that closely, man. Like I said, I get in, do my work, I conversate. I don't follow the little stuff anymore. I don't have the time to follow it, you know, to really get into it. So.
Well, he's trying to be smart about it and trying to make peace, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. But going into this weekend, we got Daytona coming up. You got Ken Roczen and Tomac right now. Those are the two favorites to win.
Top pick riders to win
every
week.
Top pick guys. Who would you give, being a guy that's raced Daytona several times, who would you give the nod to if you had to pick Tomac or Roczen for this weekend to win? Who do you think has more momentum? Tomac, who's won Daytona three times, or Kenny, who just won but has never won Daytona?
Yeah, I mean, going to Daytona, that type of racing, I'm going to go Tomac. If they start 1-2, Tomac's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he goes crazy, crashes, doesn't win. That's the only exception. If he doesn't crash, he's winning. If he gets a last place start and Roczen gets a whole shot, Roczen's winning.
Right.
Period. That's just how it's going to go. Because Roczen's really good at his opening 10 laps where gets out, check out, you know, come find me, and it's going to happen kind of thing. So that's how I look at that standpoint. But if it was a head-to-head race, I would go Tomac is going to win because he's got that place dialed. He crushes outdoors. That's his style of racing. So.
Gotcha.
I like it.
Well, out of curiosity, and this is, do you have one specific racer that's racing currently that you are maybe just good friends with, or like one rider that you're like, I hope this guy does win the championship? Is that something that ever crosses your mind, or you just watch the races and whoever wins, and whoever wins a championship wins a championship?
Yeah, man, I'm kind of more that way. Like, my whole career racing, I was never really that tight with, you know, any other racers. I mean, I made friends, but I was never tight with, you know, many people because that was just what I chose to be. But, you know, I don't know. It's a hard call for me, especially this year. You know, I haven't been watching that, you know, close-lipped to any 250 stuff to make a call on. But, you know, I think going into East Coast Daytona, I'd love to see, you know, J-Mart come back and pull off a win in Daytona for sure. And then, you know, 450 stuff, maybe someone can come up and possibly, you know, show a little bit. But it's tough. Daytona's tough, man. I mean, you might see a couple privateer guys, you know, shine, because that's kind of typically how it goes is, you know, Supercross is tough for them, but then they get a little bit of an open field where it's not so much technical, and they kind of shine a little bit. So that's kind of how I look at that.
Does conditioning play a factor at Daytona more than other Supercross rounds?
Oh, yeah. Oh, by far. I hated Daytona every time I raced it, man. Like, it was a struggle trying to figure out what suspension setting you're going to run. Is it going to be too stiff for 22 laps on Daytona? What's this? What's that? But conditioning is definitely going to play a factor in that day. It always does, and it always will.
Interesting. I think for me, that kind of tells me Malcolm Stewart, I haven't trusted his fitness yet. I was thinking about top five this weekend because it's in Florida, but if it's real physically demanding, you do have to consider that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get into that, but yeah, this is one of those things where fitness is going to come into it, and it's one of those things where you'll see it, you follow it. It's once you're 15 minutes in, that's when people are starting, you're going to tell lap times are dropping off. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, hey, Weston, we appreciate you calling in. And, you know, congratulations on the fly deal.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on with your furniture store. So it sounds like you're a busy man. Sounds like things are working out for you. And I think that's what everyone wanted the moto community was to, you know, see you bounce back from this injury. And even if you weren't racing, just to have success. So that's awesome what you got going on. And thanks so much for calling in. You had some really good insight as far as last week goes, and I think you've been very vocal.
Always entertaining.
And I love it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, always. Got to keep it real, man. No one does it anymore.
All right, man. I appreciate you calling in, and, you know, good luck with everything you got going on.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll see you.
See
you. That man has an opinion to share.
He's never changed. That's for sure. He's still the same old
Best
lesson.
Phone call of the year right there. Best phone call.
Yep, he's
and
good.
I love it. You're like, oh, I forgot to tell him not to swear on the show.
Weston does what Weston wants.
Oh, okay? Well, there you have it.
And nobody's going to stop it.
That is Between Two Burns with Weston Pike. I love it. But now we got to do the important stuff here.
Time to lock him in.
Let's do it. So to lock him in this week, here's what I got. I've got Tomac doing the four-peat. Not four-peat, but fourth win.
Okay.
Justin Barcia, I think he's one start away from challenging for a win, but between him and Tomac, as far as raw speed, you got to go with Tomac, right? Ken Roczen, I'm going to put him in third. I'm going to take a little bit of a gamble there. Cooper Webb, fourth. Jason Anderson, I think he'll have a bounce back. He rides loose on the bike. I think Daytona, for whatever reason, I think it'll be a good race for him. And then I got Justin Brayton in 10th.
So you think he's going to do the wild card back-to-back weeks?
Freeze the repeated.
That's true. That's true. I like your picks for the most part. I'm going to keep Tomac in first, even though when you start messing with other riders, making everybody mad at you, it seems like bad things happen, but I'm still going to pick him. He, like you said, he's just the fastest. Barcia, just until he gets a good start, I don't think I'm going to put him that high up. I'm going to go with Roczen in second because he always gets good starts. Baggett, you picked Anderson for a bounce back. I'm picking Blake Baggett for third. He's taken fourth there last year. Fourth place, Justin Barcia. Fifth place, I'm going to go with Cooper Webb. And wild card, let's go with Dino. So I'm going more off your starting averages here. I mean, what are they, the top three?
Well, minus Tomac.
Roczen and Webb are, Roczen, Baggett, and Webb are the best three starters this year so far that are left. So I'm putting them in there.
Okay.
Anderson, I love the man, but. Dude, he's been all over the place.
Well, there you have it. Those are our picks going into the weekend. But remember, watch qualifying, see where these guys are at. And, you know, I hope the Daytona track just puts in for some good racing this weekend. And who knows? I'd love to see the fire get a little bit more stoked between some riders that are on the track. True. But now, let's tell you why it pays to play RM Fantasy SX. We mentioned it before. We give away some killer prizes. So here it is, the weekly prizes.
So for the prizes this week, we're going to pick two winners. We'll receive two of these cups. All you got to do is join our group, RM Fantasy S Experts, and we'll pick those next Monday. Other offers, we still have that the
Tusk,
the low-pressure dial tire gauge is still on sale. Make sure to hit that up on the Fantasy site. This week, we do have a new offer code for the Fox Merc T-shirt, M-U-R-C. Go on our site, search that. You can buy up to two for $9.99, so it takes $3 off each shirt. The code's just 552.
There you go.
Simple and easy.
Weekly prizes, what do we got?
Weekly prizes, we're going to start it off this week with a Bell Moto 9 Flex helmet, then two sets of Bridgestone Battlecross tires, Fly Evolution gear set, Pro Honda prize pack, Pro Pegs titanium foot pegs, Sycra Powerflow complete body kit, Vertex piston kit, $250 Cherubie spending spree, Fox Comp boots, and primary drive alloy kit and a gold X-ring chain. So good
stuff.
And
of course, 90 Rocky Mountain gift cards.
Yep, 100 chances to win.
There you go. All right, grand prizes at the end of the year. Here's what is up for grabs. You got a 450 SXF Factory Edition, a KTM 250 SX, bring two smokes back.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And then we have a Monster Energy Cup trip. We got a Dunlop MX33 tires for a year. We got Alpine tires in there, Tusk Impact, Fly Racing gear package, Milestone video game, Supercross 3 of the game, 4K HDR TV and console. We got Motion Pro tool package and, of course, Oakley goggles and sunglasses.
And even more. Make sure if you're getting tickets for the upcoming races, use supercrosslive.com/tickets. Enter the offer code RMATV and you can save up to 20%.
There you go. That's why you play RM Fantasy SX. And the best part is, if you're new to it, if you haven't played before, it is free. You can sign up anytime. And you can always win a weekly prize. Even if you start this week in Daytona, you could still win one of the prizes that we just talked about.
I mean, if you're doing a group with your buddies, it's like I'm saying, Jeff Emig didn't even play the first three rounds, and he's already passed me. So it's never too late.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. So remember, armfantasysx.com. Have fun watching the races this weekend. Good luck on your picks. I am Chase.
I'm Christian.
We'll see you next week.